Looks like might have some news occurring.
In Pittsburgh?
No. Okay. Previously in Happy Valley, if that matters.
Penn State?
Here's what I'm just going to keep moving, Lamphill, and you tell me when it's go time. Okay. Obviously, the Commanders taking on the Dolphins Saturday night. You've got practice tomorrow. Brian and I will be there. We'll be live on the air. You better be listening. Then you've also got the game. I found this from the Palm Beach Post, and Joe Shad's a good reporter. I've seen him do a lot of good work for years. He highlighted five Dolphins-Commanders matchups to watch because this is the second preseason game. We all expect everybody to play in this, too. You know what I mean? So, top of the list, Jaden Daniels against Dolphins ball hawk Javon Holland, safety. I'm reading this here. We realize it's Daniels, the rookie and number two overall pick, versus Miami's entire defense. And we realize Daniels may have to go through star cornerback Jalen Ramsey. But we've seen Holland take advantage of youthful opposing quarterbacks before. And this, Joe Shad is predicting we see at least one interception in Holland's future. Mm. Jaden doesn't turn the ball over. That's kind of who he is. Do you think he'll throw a pick Saturday night?
No. I'm not going to sit up here and say yes to that anyway.
Right.
The ultimate thing is, listen, man. Yes, Holland has been fantastic.
Five picks in three seasons.
He can set up people.
Four forced fumbles.
But the thing about it, Jaden gets a lot of praise from multiple people about how he protects the football.
Protects the football.
Doesn't put it in harm's way. So I'm just going to have the hope and the belief that he's going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, if I doubt there's odds on that kind of thing. As you get into the regular season, there's usually interception odds you can bet on. But I would take under because I don't think
Shad writes for who?
Palm Beach Post.
It'd be kind of – if you think he'll write a story about it, Jaden Daniels protects the ball. He's going to score two touchdowns on the Dolphins. He's not going to write that.
I also think it'd be different if it was a full game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But he's probably going to play four series. Like, depending on snaps and how each series goes, like, he's not playing a whole game. He's not going to have 31 pass attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, against the Jets, he had three.
Yeah.
Three pass attempts. I think this makes a lot more sense. Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin, obviously the one. Do you remember who Miami signed this offseason? Kendall Fuller.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm reading now, Dolphins cornerback Kendall Fuller versus Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin. It's possible that McLaurin is covered by another corner, such as Ramsey. But Fuller played for Washington last season, and we'll guess he'd like a few shots at his former teammate and their top wideout.
Does he?
I don't know. I also wouldn't be shocked.
Would he really? He went against him every day in practice. He know what he can do. So would he? Do he really want to go out there?
Maybe that's why he wants to go out there. I don't know.
Sometimes when you play against somebody, you get to know them, and you get to know that you don't want to go against them.
That's true. And Jalen Ramsey, you know, knowing the type of, like, at least alpha persona he puts out there, you'd think he would want to go against him.
Yeah.
Now, I like this one. The Dolphins are down their starting center. The starting center's guy, Aaron Brewer, who's got a hand injury. So you've got Liam Eichenberg running the middle of that offensive line. And you've got to assume, we didn't see him last week, but you see John Allen and Daron Payne this week.
I think so.
You'd like to think maybe they could make an impact here.
Yeah. Or Liam is going to come out there and make sure he makes an impact and say, look, I might not win all the time, but hey, I stood up for myself. I held my own.
Now, sticking on the offensive line, a lot of people thought the Commanders might target Patrick Paul, the left tackle in the draft, Chris Paul's brother. I think Patrick went to Houston, if I remember right. They didn't go to him. They waited, took Brandon Coleman. He'll probably match up against Dorrance Armstrong, and that should be a pretty interesting matchup. Right now, though, we've got breaking news on the Fan.
I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on The Fan, and breaking news is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Our own Grant Paulson reporting that according to his sources, the Commanders are working towards signing quarterback Trace McSorley ahead of Saturday night's game in Miami. Sam Hartman is likely out for the Dolphins game after he suffered a shoulder injury in the preseason opener against the Jets. The Commanders are likely signing quarterback Trace McSorley as they work towards a deal. I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news here on The Fan.
All right, there you have it. In our roster review, I mean, I don't know that Quinn has officially said Hartman ain't playing, but Hartman ain't playing. I saw his shoulder in the locker room after that Jets game yesterday at practice, and Monday at practice.
He was a little wrapped up.
Well, dude, he was wearing like a hoodie, which has the little like arm sleeve pouch pocket.
Yeah.
And he kind of had his arm in there, which is a clever way to be out there and not let us see if you're in a sling, but to kind of have it immobilized anyway.
Yeah.
I think the length of the injury will determine a lot for Hartman. That's another guy. If something's seriously wrong, that's another potential IR candidate, because then you just redshirt him and don't even have to use a practice squad spot.
There you go.
These are the ways they make the sausage. But McSorley's an interesting, I hate the phrase camp.
That's why you used Happy Valley earlier, huh?
Yeah. I hate the phrase camp body because it's more than that, obviously. But if they're looking at signing him today, according to what Grant's saying here, and they would have him play Saturday night. To me, it also shows how firmly Jeff Driskel's roster spot is.
Yeah, does he jump?
Quarterback?
Mean, the question I would be asking: does he jump ahead of Driskel? And I doubt it.
No.
So
I don't think Hartman was going to, let alone McSorley. McSorley was good at Penn State. I think a lot of folks remember him.
Yeah.
He's a local guy too.
Damn good.
Did he go to Stonebridge? I know he went to one of the Loudoun kind of powerhouse high schools. At Penn State, especially his senior season, the numbers don't pop particularly, but his sophomore and junior year, he had 29 touchdowns against 8 picks. As a junior, it was 28 touchdowns against 10 picks. That year was his highest completion percentage by a mile. He completed almost 67% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
He also ran pretty well. His last 2 years at Penn State, ran for 23 touchdowns.
Did he drive by Baltimore? Or did he go to Baltimore?
He definitely went to Baltimore. Let's see if he was drafted. He was a 6th-round pick in 2019 by the Ravens. Played sparingly over the years. He never got a start for the Ravens. He got a little bit of action in 3 games. In 3 games in Baltimore, listen, they're really not asking him to do much. So telling you the stats is fairly unfair. He went 3 of 10 in 3 games, but mm-hmm. a lot of that might have just been situational.
Hand it off.
He got a start last year in Arizona, played in 6 games. Numbers aren't great. Last year in Arizona is no touchdowns to 5 picks. But, like, you're signing a guy on you're potentially signing a guy on Wednesday because you need him to play in the fourth quarter of a preseason game in Miami on Saturday. I think we all kind of understand the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is pushing for a roster. He went to Briar Woods in Virginia. From Centerville. Aren't you from Centerville?
Mm-hmm.
Are you Centerville or Chantilly?
Centerville.
So is he.
All right. I think I know everybody in Centerville.
I don't think, like, Landfill, we did a pretty comprehensive roster review for an hour there. I don't think this news is going to impact it. But I think if you're watching this Commanders-Dolphins game, or Landfill, perhaps if you're calling this Commanders-Dolphins game, you might want to brush up on some McSorley.
McSorley? Penn State, right there from Centerville. You know I live in Centerville, chick. High school standout in the area.
I
got all that information right there.
There you go. I think the bigger news is that we knew Hartman wouldn't play. Are you surprised at all that they don't want Driskel to play a whole second half?
No. Then again, this is the question. Is he only – no. He is on the roster as insurance. If Driskel doesn't get hurt, he doesn't go on the field.
In week one start.
No. In this game. If Driscoll doesn't get hurt, he's finishing the game. You gotcha. Know, if Driscoll get hurt and they don't have a backup quarterback, they're not putting
Mariota
or Jaden back in the game. So you need somebody else to finish up the football game.
That's great. That's a really good point. Because we saw it against the Jets. Hartman got hurt and Driscoll had to come back out and finish that game. Like that, the last.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have drive charts here, but
Can you imagine?
Driscoll had to come back in.
Jaden goes in, play how many series he's gonna play. Mariota goes in, plays his series. Driscoll goes in, something happens, and they only have those two guys left. Hell, you saw last game when Jaden came out. Jaden was out there in shorts and a shirt. Right. Mariota was still fully dressed.
Here's what
but
I
don't think
you.
This week he'll be fully dressed.
If something happens. Jaden ain't going back in.
If something happens.
Who played high school quarterback?
Hey, I'm volunteering right now, coach. If something happens, I'll come out the box and just finish up the game. All I'm doing is handing off.
Right.
Everything's on one until I do a quick snap.
So think about it. Hartman led that touchdown drive early in the fourth quarter where Wiley busted in for the one-yard touchdown, mm-hmm. right? That was Hartman. The couple plays to get down to the one-yard line, Hartman connected with Kaz Allen for 12 yards. Then Hartman kind of took a sack. Hartman was connected with Rosemead Jack Saint for one, and then Wiley hit a couple. All right, so then they score with – where's the time here? They score with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Riley Patterson made the extra point. Then the Jets have a drive. They score. Then the Commanders offense comes back out with 7 minutes left, and Jeff Driscoll has to come back in the game. That was not the plan, was for Driscoll to come back in the game. So I think this week, if your plan is for Driscoll to play the second half, if something occurs, they're not going back to Mariota. That's a great point. Like, this is the in case of emergency break glass situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run through the rest of these Commanders-Dolphins matchup things I wanted to talk about. Because this one I'm really fascinated by. Chop Robinson, local kid. I think he went to Quince Orchard. I could be wrong about that. Chop Robinson was a second-round pick. Jeff, can you look that up? High school. Because we shouted out Briar Woods for Trace McSorley. Let's get Chop Robinson's alma mater right and his draft status. But Chop Robinson is a guy that there's a lot of excitement about, right? And he usually rushes from the left-hand side. We presume Andrew Wiley's back for this game.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty quick, decent test for Wiley, who has missed a fair amount of time now with this tightness.
Yeah.
What do you think of that matchup?
Listen, man. Wiley started off slow, and a lot of people felt like Gates had the whole line off. When Gates left, Wiley got better. So I'm looking at a veteran guy going out there. He should know how to work it and get through this game. I would suspect he's going to play probably the whole time the first two quarterbacks are in there. We'll see how that lasts.
I think sack numbers are going to drop dramatically. And in the top, yeah. The top of that list, I think Biadasz over Gates is a big upgrade. We'll see what happens in left tackle.
He's from Gaithersburg.
Gaithersburg High School?
No, he's from Gaithersburg. Went to Quince Orchard.
Quince Orchard
and second round pick. Jeff, if you go to Pro Football Reference, this stuff's all listed.
So the NFL website wasn't working. So, but he was picked. Number 21 overall.
Oh, okay. First rounder. Okay, thank you, buddy. I think I like Biadasz a lot. We'll see Wiley, Lucas, Coleman, whatever happens on the edges. I think just having Jaden Daniels as your quarterback is going to drop your sack numbers. And people got caught up in the sack-to-pressure ratio. The reason Howell slid in the draft was he took too many sacks. Yeah. Like, that was a problem.
I think having Jaden and also having a slightly better offensive line, the sacks will drop too. One thing about it.
I think Cliff's going to run a much more balanced. Yeah, I think there's a ton of factors.
Howell didn't let the ball go early. He was waiting. Nah, dump that damn ball off.
And Jaden has a quick release. Yeah. Howell kind of had a
wind up.
Yeah. I think I can't wait to watch it, man. It is going to be fascinating. What else is fascinating is everything going on in New York with the Giants Pat Leonard, our guy from the New York Daily News, joins
Patrick.
Us. Patrick. Something to keep track of Saturday night landfill. The Dolphins might have a safety named Boner. So it may be Bonner, but it might be Boner. Keep track of that. Speaking of keeping track of things.
We got to get you to, you got to stay away from that type of stuff.
Pat Leonard joins us now from the New York Daily News. Pat, what up, dude? How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm great. Let me tell you, I'm really glad Devin Hester advocated for B. Mitch because, you know, people need to keep shouting that from the rooftops. You know what I mean?
Appreciate you, brother.
2028, Pat. We're gonna need you on the campaign, buddy.
I'm there already, man. Let's go.
I love it. How are things for Big Blue? How are things for the New York Giants?
Ooh, a lot of guys banged up. A sigh of relief that Malik Nabers' foot injury is an ankle sprain and nothing more. Sounds like he's now focused on being ready for the regular season, so I doubt we'll see him the rest of the preseason. They also had their rookie running back, Tyrone Tracy from Purdue, get carted off with an air cast around his right ankle yesterday. Turns out they're saying that's a sprain, but wouldn't expect to see him for a while. This is all kind of stemming from a more physical than normal camp Brian Daboll's running with urgency for the season. So some excitement with Nabers and with some of the pieces they've added, Brian Burns on defense as a pass rusher included. But, you know, the Giants are struggling to keep some guys on the field. And I know an offensive line is a topic down there as well, but their O-line, it's like once one guy gets healthy, another guy goes down. They really haven't been able to get their starting five on the field together. So that process is ongoing as the clock ticks towards September.
How are people reading into this? Are you saying a much more physical camp? Was this camp not ordinarily physical?
It was not. It was last year. It was, you know, let's say rest filled is the phrase I always used. you know, and listen, there are some teams like the Rams in some of these years that they've had some success in, you know, walkthroughs and flip flops. I mean, I don't feel like that's the majority of what coaches and players feel is necessary to prepare for seasons, but some players enjoy that type of stuff. But the Giants, it backfired last year, B. Mitch. It backfired in a big way. They were trying to manage guys' bodies, and they were coming off that first season, and they misread where their team was. Mm. And so this year, I give them credit at least for understanding it's going to take something different. I do think it reflects the reality that they need to show not only improvement, but improvement right away, because this really kind of did all come crashing down last year.
Yeah. It's fascinating for me to watch what's going on up there because it was so public and understanding that pro football is a bottom line business. It's a results business. And Danny Dimes has missed a bunch of time. Availability's been an issue for him, right? But competition across NFL rosters is always preached. Generally, quarterbacks are kind of treated differently. And because of Hard Knocks, it was so public that they were looking at other quarterbacks. How is Jones's vibe now that, like, Hard Knocks is over, the Bears' Hard Knocks has started, he's, you know, 3 weeks into camp, clearly installed as a starter. How does he seem?
You know, it's funny, JP. It's good for us in the media because we're finally seeing, like, feisty, chip on his shoulder Daniel Jones. And, you know, I think he would agree that he's been a relatively boring personality, but intentionally so. Like, that's how he likes it. But he has made no secret in his interviews the last few months now that he was not happy with what happened in the spring, that it wasn't comfortable watching it unfold on Hard Knocks for everybody to see, and that he's ready to kind of take on the pressure and expectations put on himself, not only by, like, what's happened in his career, but also, you know, now it's like the whole world knows the organization was looking to draft your successor and didn't. And so it's more than the writing being on the wall. But we're going to see the most motivated. He's a motivated guy. He's a worker. But we're going to see the most motivated, aggressive, and probably emotional, you know, fist pumping if he's making good plays, Daniel Jones, than we've ever seen. You know, the interesting thing about it in your guys' market, too, is there's so much pressure on them and on him to perform early. And really, the way they fare in their first game against Minnesota and then in that second game against Washington is really going to, I know it's a 17-game season, but it's really going to set the tone for the Giants' entire year and Jones' future. Is can they come out of those two games 2-0 or 1-1 and with a, you know, with an offense and a quarterback that look capable? It sounds crazy, I know, to some people to say you're going to judge them that early, but given where they are, that Washington game in week two looms really large as a regular season game for the takeaways you're going to use for the New York Giants.
If he comes out and plays well, are people going to ask, well, why the hell he took so long? Because I hear people saying this all the time, and I'm one that I totally disagree. If the quarterback is supposed to be the best person on your team, I want to see him be the toughest, mentally tough. Because every time they look, all these quarterbacks, great. Draft a quarterback and they get so worried. Everybody else got to worry. Why hell they can't worry?
Right, right.
I think that's fair. No,
yeah, that's fair. No, no doubt. I think, and to answer your question, like I think if Nabers' presence as a true number one, what he looks to be, if that unlocks Jones and he looks good right off the bat, I think the takeaway will be, well, he's never had a guy like this. Now he does. And now he looks like the player they drafted him to be.
Okay.
And so that's kind of like the best case scenario for them. But obviously it's going to be more complicated than that because they have a new defense. You know, they have a new play caller in Daboll. So, you know, a lot of it, there's going to be a lot of either credit or a lot of blame thrown around depending on how it goes really.
So Pat, one thing I found fascinating being up there last week, we're talking with our boy Pat Leonard. Give him a follow at PLeonardNYDN on X and Instagram. So we were up there for the Jets practices, right? But I was in New Jersey basically for 3 days because I didn't drive home in between the practice and the game. And so I listened to a lot of New York sports radio. And the callers... the callers to WFAN were very openly rooting for Tommy DeVito. And it reminded me of the Taylor Heineke phenomenon down here in Washington. Is that a real thing with the fan base, or did I just get a weird day?
No, you're right. That's really perceptive of you. I mean, JP, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, it was a very, not only telling, but almost an uncomfortable moment in the preseason opener. Drew Lock didn't play great to start. Then he gets hurt. He kneels down injured, and the trainers run out to him. And I start hearing the crowd cheering. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? You know, I'm thinking of like the Eagles fans root cheering when Irvin got
right.
hit, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's Tommy DeVito jogging onto the field. That's why they're cheering.
Wow.
And, it was such a weird – now, I get it. It's the preseason – there's people locally coming to see the local kid, and they know he's going to play in a preseason game, and he's become this phenomenon. So I get it, but it didn't take long for Drew Lock to have a couple bad throws and a couple bad series for fans starting to say, Tommy DeVito has to be our backup. He has to be on the roster. He has to be the number two. And emotionally, there's a part of the fan base that even though Daniel is obviously a first-round talent, and is just trying to prove he can live up to that. There are legitimately fans who would rather watch a game with DeVito in there than Jones because they've decided they know what Jones is and they feel like DeVito has a higher ceiling. I disagree with that, obviously, but you're not wrong when listening to the fan base in kind of the conversation and discourse here.
That's why you got to have a GM that doesn't listen to the fan base.
But so this was last week. This was tough though, B, ready? So I was listening to the fan, and all these people were calling in about DeVito, and it just totally reminded me of the Heineke situation we dealt with here. But this one caller, this was cold, and I quoted it. I said, one caller just said, sure, DeVito played great against Washington, but Daniel Jones always plays great against Washington, too. If only the Giants played Washington all the time, they'd be 16-0.
Undefeated.
Ouch. Yeah, well, obviously, as you know, DeVito made some nice throws in that game, but he was sacked about 100 times, and Washington still would have won the game if the Giants didn't force 6 turnovers.
Woo!
So, yeah, that was Memorable game there for sure.
Hey, before the foot thing, neighbors looked incredible, right?
Yes, yes. You know, not perfect. I mean, we saw a drop here. We saw a false start there. But you know what it is, JP, B-Mitch? It's like if you run, let's say, no offense to Wandale Robinson, but let's say they run, you know, a quick slant or, you know, just any catch and run in space to Wandale Robinson. Mm-hmm. He'll be catching it maybe one step ahead of his man. Neighbors, you get him running across the field. By the time the ball's in his hands, he's three or four steps ahead of his man.
Wow.
You know, he's just different, you know. He wins the ball at the catch point. He's caught several deep passes where he has not been wide open. Like, he hasn't toasted the guy, but he goes up and gets the ball. He does not lose those battles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from a Daniel Jones standpoint, if Daniel can be decisive in his reads and reactions and give him a chance, that is the clear way that he could start, you know, stop people from talking about his $40 million a year contract, because it'll be like, wow, look how much better he looks when he throws the ball up and Neighbors goes up and brings it down. So, yeah, and they also, they're using him in a lot of different ways. The thing I've learned about Neighbors so far that I did not know prior is they said that they've dumped the playbook on him, basically. They've fed him more than they initially even intended, and he has not struggled with that. He's soaking it up. They're lining him up all over the place. They even ran the old Andy Reid play at the goal line where they essentially had him as the running back and they sweep right and then pitch it back left inside. So, you know, they're using him in all different ways, and they intend to. He is their clear number one target.
I told JP earlier, like, he was talking about how these quarterbacks pick up stuff fast. I say every person in the NFL should. That's the only job you have. I mean, yep. Football hasn't changed since I was a kid. The terminology might change, but the football is the same.
Pat, real quick.
To your point, like, you know, if a guy's scouting report says he might struggle with picking up the game plan, then he's probably going to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and if a guy, if that flag isn't on his scouting report, then he's probably just going to be fine as long as he works at it. So, you know, you can't overthink it from that personnel standpoint. It's like draft a guy who you've seen do it before in college and then feed it to him. It's his job.
Totally.
Hey, real quick, someone you know and I know and Brian knows. Rich Salgado, Big Daddy. I just saw this on your Twitter. Big Daddy was on the Today Show today, B. The Today Show did a story on meet Big Daddy, an important NFL figure you've never heard of. Is this like Big Dom is getting so famous now it's Big Daddy's turn?
Yeah, I guess so, man. I know. That was a great feature. I had my 10 seconds of fame real quick because he came out to Giants camp.
Is that you and Connor?
Yep, me and Connor Hughes out there. I thought I'd end up on the cutting room floor, but
wow.
You know, I guess they found my good side. But yeah, no, Big Daddy, like I said in the piece, as you know, one of those guys who knows everybody, and even before you know him, you're like, who the heck is that?
Right.
I feel like I got to at least find out who that is. You know,
there you go. He was at the Jets practice. Pat, thank you for the time, brother. Always appreciate it.
You got it. Take care,
Pat.
It's our guy, Pat Leonard. Check out the Talking Ball podcast and follow him at P Leonard NYDN Denton Day at 1 o'clock. All right, folks. If you watched baseball last night like I did, you saw the Nats put on a hitting clinic against the Orioles. Always
BJP's
fun to watch.
Orioles.
Landfill wrote Nats crush O's and JP's Finley's dreams.
Yep.
I had my daughter sit with me watching the game, and literally my oldest was wearing an O's hat. My little one was wearing her C.J. Abrams Nats hat.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then like, Daddy, who do we root for? And I was like, the winner. But we've got the Rooster here. I do want to bring up, but obviously James Wood was raking last night, four hits. This dude, Chaparro, just, I mean, kind of came out of nowhere, and is just, I heard Rizzo talking about him this morning. He's like, what I always tell guys is if you can hit, we'll find you. He's hitting.
Three doubles in his major league debut, and he was the guy that they got at the last second from the trade deadline for trading, what's his name, to Arizona. Not Hunter Henry. He went to Kansas City.
Hunter Harvey.
Hunter Henry's the tight end.
Yeah.
I always screwed that up. But not Hunter Harvey, the other setup guy, whose name I've already forgotten, who got traded at the last second.
That's how they got Chaparro?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and
you never know.
That's your baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, Roost, what are you looking for tomorrow, Commanders, Dolphins?
Well, how about we start here? Assuming that Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle are all participating, which we have to say assuming because, you know.
I think they are. But
I think
that's
they
fair.
Are, right.
That's a fair preface.
I mean, you gotta be zeroing in on Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice and Michael Davis, right? But especially Emmanuel Forbes to see how he handles the speed and that component. I was just watching a highlight last night from the Miami game last year, and Forbes got
beat. Put yourself
beat.
Through that again?
It just popped up on my time. Forbes got beat by, I think it was Tyreek, if memory serves me correct. I'm pretty sure it was. Not on the long touchdown to start the game. That was out of the slot. That was somebody else.
Well, it was also with the crazy motion on that first one.
But Emmanuel Forbes got beat, but he had tight coverage, right? And he did a better job, I think, of locating the football than I always see him doing. Like, I don't know, man. Like, everybody talks about the physicality with that dude. I got it. No doubt. I don't know if he locates the football as well as I would want him. For a guy who came in out of Mississippi State, ball hawk, turnover guy, I don't think he turns his head around and finds the ball.
On the fade that he got scored on against the Jets, it was a location thing.
Yeah, he tried to jump a route, and then he noticed that they were going up. The thing about him, if a ball, he sees the ball in the air, he can track it very well. He's not one that can just turn and, you know, like you watch some corners.
You're
turn,
saying if it comes from the, like if he has eyes on it from the quarterback.
If he has eyes on when it's leaving, he's running with it, he'll track a ball as good as any.
But does he do that consistently enough?
No. He doesn't do it when he's running and it has a turn. When he has to run and turn to find it, he get lost.
Okay, there you go.
That's and we've talked about. So I don't know.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. What B just explained.
What's interesting is I feel like I've positioned myself as this like Forbes defender, and it's not necessarily where I want to be. He's not as god awful as it appears sometimes.
Totally agree.
And like people are like, oh, you got to cut him or trade him. Yeah. One, there's no trade value. I don't know what you're trading him for. No. But two, like he's on the roster. Yeah. Like he's not. Absolutely. Definitively off. Yo, B, I mean, look at that cat in that window right there.
Look,
oh, wow. That cat is doing some weird stuff, man. You see that, Roost?
I can't see the cat.
Well, look, Brian's giant head. Jeff, you see that cat?
All right, ear man.
I'm trying to find it. Okay.
How do you not see it? It's right there.
I don't see it. You know,
it's
you're at a different
window
angle.
Right here.
You're at a different angle. Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, I was blocked.
I think that cat's trying to jump out the window.
By the frame of the window.
That cat can't jump out the window, JP. That window is shut.
How much do you want to see of Jaden Daniels Saturday night in Miami?
So I answered this last
kind of
night
like
on
Jeff a little bit right there. So
you still think Marcus Mariota is a starter?
You know, I walked in yesterday and I heard. So Roost, I heard you were complaining that it was too sunny out. The first thing that Jeff Walker says to me, not hello, not how you doing.
You were
not,
complaining
hey,
it
man,
was too sunny
out. Hey man,
that
was a brilliant point. The first thing I hear is it's too sunny out and I hear you're miserable about it. Anyway,
you
I just
did
want that
say
out.
That.
I
yesterday
did say
was
that.
Beautiful.
But my point was for all the brilliant football points that I make. All right, maybe not for all, for some of the brilliant football points that I make, that's neither here nor there. It's me complaining about the sun being in my eyes and me being too cheap to wear sunglasses or buy sunglasses.
Are you complaining about
you
complaining?
He is.
See, I can't hear what he said because I don't have
my
ear.
Are you complaining about you complaining?
Maybe. So I said this last night, I think, on BetQL with Hollywood Nick Ashew. Ultimately, I would say I want to see me 15 to 18 snaps. A little bit of an upgrade from what we saw last Saturday, but I sense that it's going to be less than that. I don't know why I sense that because I don't expect him to play
15 snaps.
15 to 18 is what I want to see.
What does B. Mitch's Spidey sense say about? All right, if he's saying 15 to 18, let's set a total at 16 and a half snaps. B, you going over or under?
I'll go over.
I think it's three series. And possibly a fourth, depending how the three go. So if it's three, even if it's three and outs, it's nine.
We're sitting here in the one game that truly matters in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think he's going to play. How long was the drive he had the other day?
11
plays.
Yeah. Eight runs, three passes. Well, they said, Dan Quinn said, unless I misinterpreted, that he and Mariota were only playing one series. Now, I don't know if that means three and out.
No, that's what he was talking about against the Jets.
Right.
Like the plan was always they were playing one series.
Right. From last week. So I don't think I mean, 11 snaps may have been not exactly the plan, right? It was just one series, 3, 4, 7, eight, whatever.
I agree with that.
So I don't know what they're abiding by. Are they abiding by snap count? Are they abiding by series?
No, I don't. As you watch the whole league, right? Generally, if you're pulling a quarterback, it is either after a series or, like, I watched the Bills, who started Josh Allen in that game last week. Mm-hmm. He played the whole first quarter, and then they went to the second quarter, and they pulled him for Trubisky, I think because he ran on a third down to get a first down. Yeah. But, like, you're still waiting for a natural break. Yeah, I don't think you're pulling a guy on second and six.
A natural break or, you know, like, I remember a few times with Coach and with Gibbs and Andy, you all starters, y'all going two series. Both of the series sucked. We went back in the game.
I guess what I'm saying is, coach wants to feel comfortable when
you're leaving, because think about it. Jaden won't play again until Saturday, until Tampa.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if they say 10 snaps, right, that could be three series or it could be one series. So you're right about the natural break. You're right about needing more work and all that stuff and probably not playing against New England at home, even though that would be nice to, you know, do for the fans. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. You know, after the joint practice, and
Miami
will be playing more of their guys, even though they don't have Christian Wilkins, they don't have Jalen Phillips. I just sense that he's going to play a little bit less than I want him to play, which means nothing.
You want 15 to 18? That's probably two series, right?
I mean, it could be, or it could be four series. We don't know.
What do you got going on today? You want to hang out for a while?
I got to do the show. Sorry. I've got to go into the bullpen to warm up for
my
show.
What are you drinking?
It's
grape soda.
It's a little diet black cherry soda from Giant, which I put into a Wawa cup and had some ice.
He's been drinking Big Gulps for a long time.
Why? You just like that Wawa cup size?
Yeah, and I carry it around for when I need to make a drink. And
make a cocktail?
You know,
cocktail.
Where's your suitcase?
It's over in my studio. my flight attendant suitcase, and then my fine leather bag.
Go do your show.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Roost. when we come back, Denton Day, the College Sports Insider's Insider, joins the program. 1 o'clock. All right, folks. If you watched baseball last night like I did, you saw the Nats put on a hitting clinic against the Orioles. Always fun to watch.
BJP's Orioles.
Landfill wrote, Nats crush O's and JP's Finley's dreams.
Yeah,
I had my daughter sit with me watching the game, and literally my oldest was wearing an O's hat. My little one was wearing her C.J. Abrams Nats hat.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they're like, Daddy, who do we root for? And I was like, the winner. but we've got the Rooster here. I do want to bring up, but obviously James Wood was raking last night, four hits. This dude, Chaparro, just, I mean, kind of came out of nowhere. And is just, I heard Rizzo talking about him this morning. He's like, what I always tell guys is if you can hit, we'll find you. He's hitting.
Three doubles in his major league debut. And he was the guy that they got at the last second from the trade deadline for trading, what's his name, to Arizona. Not Hunter Henry. He went to Kansas City.
Hunter Harvey.
Hunter Harvey. Sorry.
Hunter Henry's the tight end.
Yeah. I always screw that up. But not Hunter Harvey, the other setup guy, whose name I've already forgotten, who got traded at the last second.
That's how they got Chaparro.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. And
you never know.
That's your baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, Roost, what are you looking for tomorrow, Commanders, Dolphins?
Well, how about we start here? Assuming that Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle are all participating, which we have to say assuming because, you know.
I think they are.
I think they are, right.
That's a fair preface.
I mean, You gotta be zeroing in on Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice and Michael Davis, right? But especially Emmanuel Forbes to see how he handles the speed and that component. I was just watching a highlight last night from the Miami game last year, and Forbes got beat.
Put yourself through that again?
It just popped up on my time. Forbes got beat by, I think it was Tyreek, if memory serves me correct. I'm pretty sure it was. Not on the long touchdown to start the game. That was out of the slot. That was somebody else.
Well, it was also with the crazy motion on that first one.
But Emmanuel Forbes got beat, but he had tight coverage, right? And he did a better job, I think, of locating the football than I always see him doing. Like, I don't know, man. Like, everybody talks about the physicality with that dude. I got it, no doubt. I don't know if he locates the football as well as I would want him. For a guy who came in out of Mississippi State, ball hawk, turnover guy, I don't think he turns his head around and finds the ball quickly enough.
On the fade that he got scored on against the Jets, it was a location thing.
Yeah, he tried to jump a route, and then he noticed that they were going up. The thing about him, if a ball, he sees the ball in the air, he can track it very well. He's not one that can just turn and, you know, like you watch some corners.
You're saying if it comes from the, like if he has eyes on it from the quarterback.
If he has eyes on when it's leaving, he's running with it, he'll track a ball as good as any.
But does he do that consistently enough?
No. He doesn't do it when he's running and it has a turn. When he has to run and turn to find it, he get lost.
Okay, there you go.
That's and we've talked about. So I don't.
So maybe that's what I'm trying to say. What B just explained.
What's interesting is I feel like I've positioned myself as this like Forbes defender, and it's not necessarily where I want to be. He's not as god awful as it appears sometimes.
Totally agree.
And like people are like, oh, you got to cut him or trade him. Yeah. One, there's no trade value. I don't know what you're trading him for. No. But two, like he's on the roster. Yeah. Like he's not. Absolutely. Definitively off. Yo, B, I mean, look at that cat in that window right there. Look, that cat is doing some weird stuff, man. You see that roost?
I can't see the cat.
Well, look, Brian's giant head. Jeff, you see that cat?
All right, ear man.
I'm trying to find it. Okay.
How do you not see it? It's right there.
I don't see it. You're at a different angle. You're at a different angle. Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, I was blocked.
I think that cat's trying to jump out the window.
By the frame of the window.
That cat can't jump out the window, JP. That window is shut.
How much do you want to see a Jaden Daniels Saturday night in Miami?
So I answered this last night
like
on
Jeff a little bit right there. So
you still think Marcus Mariota is a starter?
You know, I walked in yesterday and I heard. So Roost, I heard you were complaining that it was too sunny out. The first thing that Jeff Walker says to me, not hello, not how you doing.
You were
not,
complaining.
Hey
it was
man,
too
that
sunny
was a
out.
Brilliant point. The first thing I hear is it's too sunny out, and I hear you're miserable about it. Anyway,
you
I just
did
want that
say
out.
That.
I did
yesterday
say
was
that.
Beautiful.
But my point was for all the brilliant football points that I make. All right, maybe not for all. For some of the brilliant football points that I make, that's. Neither here nor there. It's me complaining about the sun being in my eyes and me being too cheap to wear sunglasses or buy sunglasses.
Are you complaining about you complaining?
He is.
See, I can't hear what he said because I don't have
my
earphones.
Are you complaining about you complaining?
Maybe. So I said this last night, I think, on BetQL with Hollywood Nick Ashew. Ultimately, I would say I want to see me 15 to 18 snaps. A little bit of an upgrade from what we saw last Saturday, but I sense that it's going to be less than that. I don't know why I sense that because I don't expect him to play
18 snaps.
15 to 18 is what I want to see.
What does B. Mitch's Spidey sense say about? All right, if he's saying 15 to 18, let's set a total at 16 and a half snaps. B, you going over or under?
I'll go over.
I think it's three series. And possibly a fourth, depending how the three go. So if it's three, even if it's three and outs, it's nine.
We're sitting here in the one game that truly matters in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think he's going to play. How long was the drive he had the other day?
11.
11 plays.
Yeah.
He's going back in three passes.
Well, they said, Dan Quinn said, unless I misinterpreted, that he and Mariota were only playing one series. Now, I don't know if that means three and out.
No, that's what he was talking about against the Jets.
Right.
Like, the plan was always they were playing one series.
Right. From last week. So, I don't think I mean, 11 snaps may have been not exactly the plan, right? It was just one series, three, four, seven, eight, whatever.
I agree with that.
So, I don't know what what they're abiding by. Are they abiding by snap like count? Are they abiding by series?
No, I don't. The only, I mean, as you watch the whole league, right? Generally, if you're pulling a quarterback, it is either after a series or, like, I watched the Bills, who started Josh Allen in that game the other last week. He played the whole first quarter, and then they went to the second quarter, and they pulled him for Trubisky, I think because he ran on a third down to get a first down. Yeah. But, like, you're still waiting for a natural break. Yeah, I don't think you're pulling a guy on second and six.
A natural break or, you know, like, I remember a few times with Coach and with Gibbs and Andy, you all starters, y'all going two series. Both of the series sucked. We went back in the game.
I guess what I'm saying is
that coach wants to feel comfortable when you're leaving. Because think about it, Jaden won't play again after next week until Tampa.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if they say 10 snaps, right, that could be three series. Or it could be one series. So you're right about the natural break. You're right about needing more work and all that stuff and probably not playing against New England at home, even though that would be nice to, you know, do for the fans. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. You know, after the joint practice and Miami will be playing more of their guys, even though they don't have Christian Wilkins, they don't have Jalen Phillips. I just sense that he's going to play a little bit less than I want him to play for what, which means nothing.
You want 15-18? That's probably two series, right?
I mean, it could be, or it could be four series. We don't know.
What do you got going on today? You want to hang out for a while?
I got to do the show. Sorry. I've got to go into the bullpen to warm up for
my
show.
What are you drinking?
It's
grape soda.
It's a little diet black cherry soda from Giant, which I put into a Wawa cup and had some ice.
He's been drinking Big Gulps for a long time.
Why? You just like that Wawa cup size?
I carry it around for when I need to make a drink.
Make a cocktail?
You know,
cocktails.
Where's your suitcase?
It's over in my studio. my flight attendant suitcase, and then my my fine leather bag.
Go do your show.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Roost. when we come back, Denton Day, the College Sports Insider's Insider, joins the program.